We rise for the gospel, please.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at the dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak, for the patch pulls away from the cloak and worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. Otherwise the skins burst, and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly, a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. And then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away. For the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. This is the word of God for the people of God.
To our worship here at Crossroads Church, and pray that your time with us is time well spent as you grow in the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the time I've been with you, the lectionary helped us out a lot. The first number of weeks I was with you, we preached from the Gospel of John, and we talked a lot about the farewell Gospels, kind of a little bit paralleling the time you've had, saying farewell to past pastors, farewell to some hopes and dreams, and what were we going to do in the meantime, and Jesus talking about the empowering of the Spirit and moving ahead. And the time I haven't been with you, you celebrated Pentecost and Trinity Sunday. I know you had a great sermon, and you also had a great time for hymn singing. I'm sorry I missed that. And now the lectionary brings us to Matthew's gospel. And Matthew is an interesting gospel because Matthew is telling us about the work of Jesus, what it's like to do the work of Jesus, to live the life of Jesus, and to be, even for us, in effect, if you will, without being too grandiose, rather than being Jesus in the world, let me say, to be the church in the world. And so here we have this passage from Matthew, which is so full of stuff, you just don't know where to go with it. And I'm still choosing which of three tracks I had would be the most effective and appropriate today, because it provides so much richness in terms of the fullness of Jesus's ministry. Matthew has gone through a number of allusions to the Gentile community. In the genealogy at the beginning, he cites two Gentiles who are in Jesus's genealogy. In some ways, unheard of for the very strict religious Jews in the faith that Jesus grew up with. There's also these Gentile observers that travel miles to witness Jesus's birth. What is the outside world doing in something so holy for us special people, except that God has already upset the apple cart? It's not just you or me or them. It's not just whites or rich or wealthy. It's all of the people that God has created, in whatever state or condition of life they're in. That's too much for some people and too much to grasp for others. Really? God believes in me? God would touch me, whoever I am, and whatever stage of my life I'm in? Yeah, that's what the faith ultimately says to us. That's what Jesus' ministry shows us, because even in this passage, think of the things that he has disrupted as he's sharing mercy. He sits down with a tax collector. Well, now, granted, these days we do have our issues with taxes. I understand that. And somebody said there are two things you can depend on, death and taxes. However, the issue in the Jewish community was that not only were taxes going to a corrupt government, which was denying the opportunity for Jews to live as the people they were in numerous other communities across the Roman Empire, this Pax Romana is a very interesting thing and needs to be looked at. While it kept the peace on the surface, the rumblings of trying to be ourselves underneath are just growing deeper and deeper, and we see that throughout Jesus' ministry and other tracks of history. So Jesus sits down with a tax collector to have a meal. A meal is usually something you do close in with the people you love. But Jesus has already violated norms not only of the faith at that time, but of national culture by sitting down with a Roman tax collector. Jesus shows mercy even to those who are the other. And then, as the passage goes on, so many things are happening. He's asked to touch a woman who needs to be healed on the Sabbath. That's work. And then another woman who's in the moment of her period, which was then considered unclean and no one would touch her or they would be unclean too, she reaches out to touch Jesus' garment. And he's aware of this person's faith, that they believe so much in God's caring and loving that they would do that. So here we are this morning. This meal theme keeps coming back. It was in the announcement, it's tomorrow night, it's refreshments after the service, but it's here at the heart of our faith. Some preachers I've heard in recent years have said, I think I'm going to move this. Meals on wheels. May I do this carefully? I've never done this before, so I may need some help cleaning it up. But seriously, this is the center of our faith, isn't it? When we gather at the Lord's table. And this is not an exclusive table. Everybody in the room today, whether you're here once, whether you're not sure you're a Christian, whether, what are those funny people at Crossroads Church doing every Sunday? Let me go in and check on it. This is one of the things we do. And what does it mean? It means that we are welcoming of all, And then we get to those troubling words over which battles have been fought. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And my goodness, we have spent wars and theological debates saying, what does it mean? Jesus, we actually ate him? Let's look at it this way. The faith doesn't get shared unless bodies are used. There will be no coffee hour today unless somebody has agreed to step out of what might have been just come to worship, quick, go home, to be there to pour coffee and have already baked. The faith doesn't get shared unless we have offered a welcoming opportunity for a bonfire tomorrow night, which brings together two constituencies of our ever-growing congregation. How has the faith been shared? Carly can tell you for 20-some years how miracles have happened through the ways people's lives have been touched through porch light, whether it's food, a place to sleep, housing, because somebody put their life, put their bodies, if you will, on the line. This is not a weird, strange kind of activity. Personally speaking, my dad died when I was 16, just before I graduated from high school. He had lymphoma, cancer of the lymph system. And back in the late 50s and 60s, they knew nothing about how to cure that. But we discovered later that many grants at that time were keeping him alive. He became an experiment, if you will, in a good sense, so that these days, lymphoma is not as big a deal. But one of the things that helped to do that were people who donated blood in order that he could continue. And if you've read my Facebook page, you'll see blood is desperately needed. And so ever since then, maybe out of thanks or out of personal appreciation for those who gave Dad a few more years of life, I've been a blood donor on and off. There was a period of time when I couldn't donate blood because of some medication, but when I went off that and cleared, I now donate blood, platelets, and once I even gave bone marrow. Talk about putting your body on the line. My wife said I was the only one coming out of surgery looking worse than when I went in. But those bone marrow pieces were already identified. That's how I got into the program. Some unrelated donor, we were a match. And there was already a team there as soon as my bone marrow had been harvested to take it. And I think it was going by plane to some other place. How do we use our bodies? This meal reminds us that just as Jesus gave his life, we give our lives, perhaps not in as big a dramatic ways, except that those times of big and drama seem to be here when we least expect it. We were talking with my daughter last night, and I shared with many of you that she, at age 47, found a partner she wants to marry and live with. And so she and April are working hard now to plan a wedding at Hollywood United Methodist Church, which she was telling us yesterday plays a big part in Los Angeles and Hollywood's Pride Parade today. The church rented a two-story bus with an open roof. And so Rebecca and April and numerous friends, we said to her, or she said to us, we're so glad, and this is somewhat selfish, but somewhat true, and somewhat the challenge. We're really glad you're living in a safe community. How sad is that? How much in the face of God saying, I came to the world bringing Jesus to save the world, to bring life, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. These people that we see Matthew writing about that Jesus interfaced with, we know what happened to Jesus ultimately. He was put to death. And yet something in his life continues and remains and stays. And so it's our opportunity, our task, our job, our following Jesus in the way of Jesus, that it's again our turn. We will join with each other around this table in just a few moments and share the body and blood of Christ as we know it is a symbol. It's a kind of reality. I won't go so far, and I think Cindy with me, to be so high church to believe that if the Sanctus bell is sung, the elements actually transform into the real body and blood of Christ. Many believe that. But what it does do, and our communion prayer suggests that, is that we become one with each other in Christ, and one in ministry to all the world. So this is the uniting meeting. So I look forward to the moment, in just a couple of moments, when we will all be invited to share this meal. And for those of you online listening, if you would like communion brought to you, it can be done this month, or it may be a way to meet your new pastor. Just as I close, I have met Pastor Angie. We didn't know each other, but she seems like a real live wire, ready to go. Folks, you're not going to be sitting idle. And you haven't been while I've been here. As I said, I've just been sitting back watching and not getting in the way so the work of the church can continue. She will continue that. But bringing us together around communion, she will celebrate her first communion the second Sunday of July, which is her first Sunday here. It's a way God reminds us and we remind the world that we are here doing the work that Jesus would have us do for the spreading of God's kingdom, which is nothing more and nothing less than each of us living according to who God has created us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.